Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Metaphysical Hour. And today is October 21st, 2016. Can you imagine that? My gosh, it's already so late in the year. It's getting cool here, and or it got cold today, and oh gosh, it feels like fall. I'm missing summer, and I'm not ready for it because I just got back from Canada. It was getting cold there. I got back. It was warm. And I loved it. And then now it got cold today. And I'm like, no, I'm not ready. So I want to go. I don't like it when it does that. You know, I'm missing seasons again. So, I don't know about this. Okay. Well, anyway, that's my conundrum. Maybe it has something to do with time and everything. I'm going to hold on to things sometimes. I'm going to hold on to my warmth. So, and if anybody else has those things, you know, then side with me here. Just, I'll gripe when it's too hot too. So, you know, I mean, sometimes I like my middle of the zone thing here. Anyway, back to the Metaphysical Hour. Let's see. Today is October 21st, 2016. And I'm going to give you and I'm Julia Cannon, if I didn't say that, and I'm going to give you the call-in number if you have any questions for our guest tonight, and that is 1-888-627-6008, 1-888-627-6008, and our... I've been gone for, let's see, 3 weeks. I've been in Canada, Toronto, Canada. We've been doing classes, and that's I had a great time up there. It was wonderful. Like I said, it was cooler up there, and so I was missing the warmth here, but I had such a wonderful time, and that's where our guest is coming from, is one of the classes that we did up there, and that's our guest is Heather Gunn. She's one of our practitioners. I'm so excited to have you on the show tonight, Heather. First of all, welcome.
Thanks, Julia. You ought to be up in Canada. It's nice and warm up here today.
Is it really? Are you kidding me?
Out in Alberta it is. That's just no fair, is it?
It's not. It's really not. It was because it was getting cold during some of those days up there, and then somebody said... well, sometimes it's snowing about this time, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, we need to get home. And there was getting that bite in the air. You could feel it's like that crispness, and it's like, oh gosh, you know, I'm not ready for this. And you could see frost on the ground some of the mornings, and it's like, I'm not ready. I'm just not ready for this.
I'm never ready for winter ever.
No, maybe there was a time when I was younger, I liked it, but I just don't like it anymore. I just don't care maybe for a couple of days, and then it's like, okay, I'm ready for the warm weather now.
Yeah. Yep. I like it over Christmas, and that's about it.
Yeah. So, well, we'll get to this, but so why are you in Canada then if you don't like the cold?
Well, I've always said to, you know, I used to accuse my mother of giving birth to me in the wrong part of the world. I used to always say to her, I think I was probably 10 when I started saying, Mommy, I think I was supposed to be born in California.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it was the east coast of Canada. So, oh well.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes you're like, why? Why am I here? In general, why am I here?
Yep.
So, anyway, so we'll get to your story here in a second, and that will probably shed some light as to why you are there specifically. A little bit about, well, we can get to our classes that we're doing, but you were in our level 3 class that we just had in Toronto, and that was just such a wonderful class. You and Luke were in that class, and that was so wonderful to have you two.
Loved it. It was fantastic. Everybody should do level 3.
Well, thank you. I think so, but, you know, thank you from your viewpoint.
You're welcome.
But let's go ahead and share a little bit before we get into, you know, like we'll get some of your viewpoint on that and everything. But I always love to hear people's journeys and how they got into this world of QHHT, how they ever found it, how they ever got, you know, into metaphysics and into everything that's here. And, you know, part of level three is we really get to know the practitioners so to know you more personally. And that's what I love about it, because all along the way, you know, as we see you in your classes, level ones and level twos, you know, we're getting to know you a little bit better, but level three, we really get to know you because there's just a few of you in the class. So we really get to know you. And, I found it was just amazing how much of your life, it was like, wow, that was so much. I'll just tell you, I really resonated with your life. I'll just tell you that much. There's very much of your life ran parallel to mine. Part of it was what I wanted to do or I intended to do. And then part of it is what I did do. And so it was like, wow. So I really related to it. But I would really love to hear your story and your journey. And I would love everyone to hear about it, because I find everyone's stories are so inspiring. And how they got to where they are. So,
so sorry, I'm getting some artifacts here. I don't know what's going on. Okay, are you there? I'm sorry.
I'm here. Yeah. So let's just. I don't know where that was either. We're gonna have some gremlins, I guess, here. But let's just. Yeah, I think we're here now. Okay. So if you want to just start, like wherever you want to from earlier, and
sure.
And just, you know, just where you want to start and then keep going.
All right.
Just how you got to here.
All right. Yeah. Well, oh gosh, you know, how do you ask somebody who works with God where they started, you know? It reminds me of the Mary Tyler Moore show back there when they, you know, I remember Ted Baxter used to say, well, it all started when I was 2 years old, sort of thing.
Yeah.
But for me, you know, I had always felt different from my friends. I had lots of friends, but I always felt different. I couldn't quite connect with them or something. I remember looking at them as if they had, that they were speaking a different language for me. We just weren't connecting somehow. You know, once we finished playing on the swings, then I would want to do things like picking butter cups and making butter for my mother. You know, that was more important to me than playing with my dolls or whatever. I remember playing with frogs and field mice when my friends were playing with their dolls. I don't know. I just never quite fit with the mold. And I think that people who work with spirit, I have heard so many of them over the years say the same thing. You know, I never really quite fit in. My childhood, what I remember most about my childhood, other than the fact, like yourself, Julia, my dad was in the service, so we were never in one place more than maybe 3 years. I think we might have been somewhere for 4 years once, and that felt like an eternity for us. But during those times, you know, you learn to be flexible and open-minded. We were stationed in the States, in Montana, actually, at one time as well. And even during all those years, whether in Canada or the States, I was always finding myself doing what's called befriending the underdog, you know, the shy one in class or the one that was too short or too overweight or, you know, whatever. I always seemed to be attracted to them because I never wanted anyone to feel left out of the herd, so to speak. So for me, as far as the spiritual aspect of my life, well, when I was six, we were living in the east coast of Canada, and I remember being a sick little girl and going to see the doctor. I remember his name. His name was Dr. Fitch, and he said that my appendix had ruptured. The problem was it had ruptured several days prior, and so by the time we saw him, I had peritonitis and was admitted immediately, and by the time they got me up to the operating room, the infected contents of the appendix made its way through my entire intestinal, through my entire abdomen, and they had to put all kinds of drains in me to drain the stuff out of me. During that time, I do remember the anesthesiologist putting the mask over my face, and I was just barely six, and he said, I want you to count backwards from 100. Well, I'm six. I can hardly count to 100 the right way. So I remember saying 99, and that was gone for me. The rest of the time, I remember playing with the angels.
Mm-hmm.
I remember little angels, pudgy little angels, laughing and giggling and running around me and kind of teasing me, a sort of cajoling me as if to say, come on and play with us. And next thing I know, I'm coming out of a coma a couple of days later, and my mother was at the bedside, and there were all kinds of baskets of fruit and candy. And to this day, I think that the reason why I have such a sweet tooth is because I think I developed an addiction to sugar back then, because I had just gone through a near-death experience. And the first thing that happened when I came out of the coma was, you know, all this sweet stuff by the bedside. So I jokingly sort of say that it's not my fault. The first thing I said to my mother was, Mommy, I'm hungry. And it hasn't stopped. You know, now my life goes from meal to meal, but I thank goodness that weight hasn't been a real big problem for me. But after that near-death experience, as if I didn't already feel disconnected from my friends and my family, my poor mother, she never quite understood. She was always angry with me because I had my head stuck in the clouds somewhere. Then when I was 12, now we're living in Great Falls, Montana, and this was during the time, I suppose, that many of the listeners will, who have been studying any of the UFO phenomenon, will know about the Strategic Air Command, you know, where all the missiles were, the ballistic missiles. And we were in Montana at Great Falls at Malmstrom Air Force Base, and we didn't live on the base. We were on the economy, living in a little house. And when we were there, our last year there, it was the year that all of the missiles went down. And if my memory serves, I looked at some research about that a few years ago, and if my memory is serving me properly, I believe it was something like 19 of the missiles became unserviceable. And at that time, that same period of time that they were becoming unserviceable, which was over just a number of hours, you know, maybe a day or something like that, there was incredible UFO activity in the skies over the Air Force Base and Great Falls at that time. And there's a lot of literature out there now talking about that particular phenomenon as it happened. So anyway, we're living in a house in Great Falls, and one night, I'm 12, there was an electrical storm outside. And I was absolutely terrified of lightning. And the thunder was scary enough, but when it lightning, I just remember cringing right to my core. And I was sharing a room with my little sister. And there was a flash coming in the window. And at the same time as the flash, I felt what felt like a cinder brick, a huge piece of cement hitting me down in what I would now identify as my root or my sacral chakra, down in that area, down at the base of my spine. It mm-hmm. wasn't painful, but it was extremely powerful. And so I figured I had been struck by lightning. And I remember calling out, you know, screaming for my mother, and my mom and dad came running up the hallway. And poor mom, she came in and she said, "What are you yelling about?" And I said, "Well, I just got struck by lightning," and I was terrified. Of course, poor mom, she says, no, it's impossible. You're in the house. I look back on it now. I've had some regression done, and it was not lightning that struck me. It was actually purely a jolt of energy. And likened it to the lightning because we were in the middle of an electrical storm when it did, quote, strike me. Mm-hmm. From that day on, life really got interesting after that, and I think that was probably what drove my mom over the following years. I've never really shared this with my family now that I think of it. I felt responsible for my mother having a nervous breakdown when I was about 16. We were living in New Brunswick by that time because I was doing some pretty crazy stuff like what could be construed as witchcraft or something, because I remember taking a teacup and putting an open tea bag into it and lighting it off fire, and my poor mother again running down to the bedroom and saying, "What's burning?" And I said, "Well, I'm trying to make Grandma feel better," because my mother had received a phone call from Grandma, and lo and behold, Grandma said she was sick, and lo and behold, apparently after I lit this teacup, she called my mother long distance from Newfoundland and said that she was feeling much better. So, of course, me, I just decided, wow, this is a cool thing. I wonder what kind of tea bags I should buy, you know, so I can stay on top of keeping everybody healthy here. But so many, many years later, you know, just I never really had anything outstanding after that. I just felt different, and I felt electric. I felt like I was turned on, and that nobody could see it. Nobody could understand how I felt. So I just kept it very quiet. I was extremely shy, and yet had all these friends. So fast forward to about the age of 15, we're coming back from the United States after 4 years. Yes, it was. It was 4 years down there. And we came back, and I ended up failing my first year of school back here because it was grade 10. And what I had been learning in junior high in the U.S. was nothing to prepare me for, you know, transitioning into high school up here. And the next year I had to repeat grade 10, but there was a move once again, you know, always on the move, which has actually benefited me over my life. Now I've learned to be very flexible in that regard. Then we moved to Chatham, New Brunswick. And one night I was walking home from the high school in the dark through a very thick wooded area. And there was a time, I don't know how long it was, Julia, I cannot tell you because time stopped, but it was like walking into jello. I don't know how best to describe it. It was just thick. It was, the air was really, really thick. And when I came out of that, I felt again like a different person. And I had gone by the end of that month, I had gone from extremely shy to captain of the cheerleaders. So I don't know how that happened. I can't remember. I only recall the dramatic difference in me. And boy, if I was a chatterbox when I was little, now I was yelling, you know, and feeling like I was enjoying every moment of, you know, opening my mouth and squelching. Then years later, no more spirituality, just felt different. Then I went into nursing, and I was a single parent of three. The first marriage did not turn out for, you know, obvious reasons why marriages, when you're pregnant and 18, it's hard to, you know, make sure that a marriage is going to work. But I ended up going into nursing, and that would have been 1979, I think. And when I was at the school one day, I don't know how, but I found myself upstairs in the library. I never went to the school library. I just found myself in the library reaching for a book, and it happened to be Ruth Montgomery's A World Beyond. And that opened it. That just opened it. From that point on, it was like this wellspring of psychic phenomenon happening around me, people saying things like, you came into my dream last night, or I saw you on the street in another city where I wasn't there, you know, that sort of thing, just some kind of really kind of funky stuff. So I became a nurse and immediately joined the Canadian Forces in the Air Force. And during my time, I'm stationed back in Ottawa for 4 years, and then I was transferred to Halifax on the East Coast.
And what drew you to go into the Canadian Forces rather than just a nurse?
I think, well, stability. I was looking for stability because I never felt stable in my life. I always felt shaky. Just a feeling of I need to attach myself to something that will ground me. And my dad had been in the military, mm-hmm. and I had two brothers in the military at that point. And so it just seemed like the logical thing to do is to go into a place that would absolutely ground me. I mean, to the point where you have to be dressed a certain way and wear certain shoes, mm-hmm. and wear your wedgie on your head exactly as they said it, and have your hair tied back. And it worked for me. I needed to ground because nothing else was grounding me in my life. Well, here I am. I'm in my next posting, which was Halifax, and about my third or fourth year there, I've got to back up. I'm working in the operating room and recovery, and when I was in recovery room, I was being teased by the nurses I was working with because when we would have a client or a patient come in from the operating room shaking, you know, that post-operative shiver because it's cold in the OR and because they have all the drugs in their system that make them shake. All right. I would do is just place my hands. It was just an intuitive thing. Place my hands on the soles of their feet, and if I was up at the other end holding their oxygen mask on their face and lifting their chin up so that they didn't block their airway, I would just put my hands on the crown chakra. But I didn't know what they were. I just knew head or feet, mm-hmm. and they would immediately stop shaking. So my colleagues would kind of joke about it, and to this day I still stay in touch with one of them, and she just still calls me, you know, boy, that woo stuff, boy, you could really do that in recovery room and that. But the funky thing about it was here I am in uniform in the Air Force, regular force, not the reserves, and I used to go over to the Halifax Psychic Center because they would call me and ask me if I would come over and do healing for whoever needed it. And so they would line up, and one particular day there was another nurse from the Victoria General, and she had shin splints. And so I just sat down on the floor. I didn't know what I was doing. I just put my hands on her shins, and she asked me to stop after about a minute because she said it was way too hot. And I thought she meant she felt hot. She says, no, where your hands are, it's way too hot. Well, because I obviously wasn't controlling the energy that was, you know, coming through my palm chakras or something. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, when was this? When was this?
That
what year?
Was in, oh gracious, I would say probably 86.
Okay, because that would have been, maybe Canada was more advanced, because it's like energy work, that would have been early.
Oh, super early.
Early.
Yeah.
I was like, because I had never even heard of energy work until, 2000s, maybe.
Well, you're a late bloomer, Julia.
I'm trying to think when I heard, no, maybe it was in the late, when did I start hearing about it? Late 90s, early 2000s.
Huh.
Yeah, and so it's like, so 80s, my goodness, wasn't that prevalent here, was it?
You mean like mainstream using it, like Reiki and?
Yeah, right.
No, actually, now that I think back, before I went to Halifax and had these incidences in recovery room, I was in Ottawa and I was I guess I should mention this. There was a psychic in Ottawa who worked with the Royal Canadian Mounted Police finding missing children and other folks as well. And I thought, oh, how cool. That is just absolutely, psychic. You know, and by this point, you know, it's really got my attention. So I went to a couple of his seminars and was just amazed at how spot on I was able to, you know, bring information into my mind and vision. Like, he gave us one where he just said, an aircraft went down in the Pacific off the coast of British Columbia. That's all the information we got. So there mm-hmm. would be about 25 or 30 of us in the room, laying down on our blankets with our pillows in this large room in a hotel in Ottawa. And I had a vision of exactly where it went down, the numbers that were on the aircraft. And what happened was I had 8 or 9 men come to me in my vision. One of them had his whole head wrapped in cling, in white bandage. And mm-hmm. I asked him in my vision, they all looked perplexed, and they all kept asking me, what do you want? What do you want? And I said, I'm just wanting to know if you're all right. And they all said, we're fine. Let us go. We're very, very happy. This was in my vision. And so they went back, what I call up the elevator, you know, back up to, you know, where they were. And mm-hmm. we went around the room, and then Earl Curley, who was the psychic who was teaching it, went around the room and asked us all what we saw, and I told him what I saw. And after he got to the last person, as it turns out, the only thing I got wrong in the whole vision, it actually was an aircraft that went down off the coast of British Columbia, and it was sort of in an inlet that was really like a long finger-like projection that I saw in my vision. And it was a crew of 8 or 9 Germans in a small aircraft, and they were engineers. And their aircraft had actually gone down, and one of the men had been decapitated.
Oh,
yeah. So that's what I was seeing. And the only thing that I got wrong, per se, was the numbers on the tail of the aircraft. I got 2 of them transposed. But I saw the colors, the red, the white, and the dark blue or black. It was blue or black. And mm-hmm. that really caught my interest. But I was a skeptic, and I used to think, I'd say to everyone, it was a coincidence, you know, very mm-hmm. much a coincidence. Yeah. Then I took another seminar with him, and he gave us a person, but all he said was a name, and he gave me a name, I'll just say Mary Smith, and mm-hmm. she lives in Quebec City. So I went down into my meditation place, my workshop, he called it, and I asked Mary Smith to come in the way I had asked those German fellows to come in, and by the way, they all perished in that aircraft.
Right.
And she came in, and she looked perplexed, and I asked her to lay down so I could examine her and just look at her body and see if there was anything that needed healing. You know, remember, I'm just sort of a student doing this, so it was pretty roughshod what I was doing. So she laid down, and I saw a sparkle on her left lower in the groin area, a little bit higher than that, and I saw a sparkle in her right knee. And then Earl went around the room afterwards, and he said, all right, what did you all find? Well, as it turns out, he had given me his ex-wife, and she had had a tubal pregnancy left and a right knee replacement. So it showed up. Do you know what I did, Julia? I went home, and the gal who went to this seminar with me, I said to her, it's a coincidence. Yet again. So her name was Margaret, and Marg said to me, as we walked in the house, my daughter said, Mommy, I've had a headache all day. And Marg looked at me, and she said, heal her. I said, oh, for goodness sake, Marg. And she said, put your hands on her head. So I put her up on the kitchen counter and put my hands over her head. And about, I don't know how long it was, I'm thinking probably a good solid 3 or 4 minutes. And I took my hands down, and she opened her eyes. Her name is Laura. And she said, Mommy, how did you do that? So then I started to buy into it. Then I started to really work on it and so on. So fast forward again, I'm in Halifax. I'm levitating on my waterbed. And the whitest light through my eyelids, I cannot even call it white. It was whiter than white. It was beyond white. And I went, like that, and I know that I fell. I was obviously levitating because I fell to the bed, and I know that I fell because the whole bed was a waterbed. It was just, you know, whooshing back and forth.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, it was just, wow, like, and I'm still thinking, oh, I wonder if that's a coincidence, so... So anyway,
we are so
then,
funny. My gosh.
I know. You know, go figure. We're all like that, eh? We have such wonderful gifts given by God, and we all tend to, oh, I don't know about that one or whatever. Mm-hmm. So years later, I'm still in Halifax. I meet my current husband. I was a single parent all those years with 3 children, and now I'm remarried, and we're moving to Colorado up in the mountains, and I worked for a hospice down there, and the most outstanding part of the spiritual work down there was working with hospice and having my patients go back and forth from one side of the veil to the other during the dying process, for instance, one day they'd have a meal and the next day they'd be on the other side in a moribund sort of state, and they would not be able to communicate whatsoever. We'd think, oh, today might be the day, and the next thing you know, they're awake again. So I started asking them, after seeing that with dozens of people, what can you tell us? You've been to the other side. Oh, it's so beautiful, they'd say. Oh, it's so beautiful. What messages do you have for those of us who are on this side, the ones that you're leaving on this side of the veil? And I would hear one of three, of a variation of three topics. Number one, they would say, oh, we got to love. Love, love, love. Love, it's all about love. The other thing I would hear is, learn all that you can, because everything you learn here, we do take it across with us. And I don't mean A, B, C, and 1, 2, 3. What they meant was compassion and love and kindness and how to be open-minded and, you know, all of those glorious things. But we learn a lot of that from our, you know, negative experience as well. So I learned that. And the third thing that I learned from all of them was stop and smell the roses. And it was interesting because, yeah, I started asking those questions routinely of all of my hospice patients. And, oh, gosh, I had witnessed hundreds of deaths. And I was hearing the same thing. So I thought, wow, okay, they're bringing back the same information. There's something, you know, this that validates it for me. We had one hospice patient who we pronounced in the morning. And there were no signs of life. You know, we checked for external rub to see if, you know, pain reaction, and we checked her pupils. They were fully dilated and fixed, and we checked her breathing, and there was no evidence of breathing, and there was no pulse. So we did all our four checks. Yeah, there was nothing. 8 hours later, she opened her eyes, and she told us, now before she, quote, died, she was not a nice person. She was a very, very unhappy, very crusty old woman, and she'd actually tell us to get the hell out of her room. This sort of thing. Mm-hmm. When she came back 8 hours later, her body was still there because we were waiting for family to fly in, which is an issue for me. I think family needs to be with them if they can, you know, say their goodbyes while she can still be here, instead of, you know, there's good, better closure for that. Anyway, so she opened her eyes. She was a different person, like someone else had walked into her body, and she lived for another month. And during yeah, she would say to the nurses, come and sit here, dear. Come and sit beside my bed. Tell me all about you. It was amazing. So she had obviously a near-death or an out-of-death experience as well. Mm. So, oh my gosh. Well, it goes on. I think, you know, when it really opened up for me, Julia, is a few years ago, my sister and her husband came out to live with us, and we all had good intentions, but it just didn't work out for us. And so they moved further west, and it honestly, it just broke my heart. It just absolutely broke my heart. I just felt like, wow, that's just really the worst thing that I felt had ever happened to me, worse than the divorce, worse than the burst appendix, whatever. However, I'm on the computer one night, and I'm on Amazon looking for a book on UFOs over Canada. And there's a comment from someone who says, well, if you think that's a good book, you ought to read Dolores Cannon's Convoluted Universe. Any of them, this woman said. I bought one. Fast forward, I now have all 19 of her books. I have them on my bookshelf. They're in order of when they were written. And I've even read Soul Speak. I use it all the time, of course, your book. Oh. And I can't tell you, after having done level one online and then level two down in Arkansas with your mom just months before she was ready to transition and did so, how it changed my life. It's just, it's beyond words. I'm now getting phone calls pretty much every day. Pretty much every day, booking from all over Western Canada. I have a woman flying out from Ottawa. I've done sessions in Newfoundland. And I'm just so grateful. It changed my life. And the unfortunate dramatic thing, you know, with my sister is what propelled me. So I'm eternally grateful to that dramatic thing in my life so that it could push me on. So I just want to fast forward one more time, when I was down in Arkansas doing level two, your mom asked me to come up on the stage and to to pretend I was hypnotizing Suzanne Spooner, and I asked her to, you know, stick your tongue out and lick it. Does it taste, thinking she was maybe looking at licorice or a bruise or something like that. But when I was on my way up to the stage, I passed your mom and I said, you know, Dolores, I used to love you. Meaning, how come you picked on me? Everyone else was going, yeah. Oh, thank God it wasn't me. So she started to joke about that. And then the day that she transitioned, I was doing my, I had repeated Reiki Master. I took Reiki and Reiki Master years and years and years ago, probably close to a quarter of a century ago. And I was repeating because I wanted to see if it had changed or anything. And the day that I finished my master course, I was driving home in the highway, and I didn't know that your mom had died, but she showed up in a pink and white shirt, like a gingham shirt, and with kind of loose, light blue jeanie sort of things on. And I'm driving, she's in front of me as I'm driving, grinning from ear to ear, and she said, I bet you love me now. Yeah, of course I do. I adore that lady. And she comes into my sessions here a lot. Lots and lots. Yeah, comes in a lot. So the changes for me since I've been doing QHHT, I've developed into a trance channel. And it's so warm and fuzzy to be able to do that. I have a guide who comes to me routinely. I feel centered. I feel peaceful and joyful. I prefer not to use any tools when I'm doing this because I learned from the beginning to use my heart and my visions. I don't use cards pendulums or anything like that. It feels unnatural to me. It works for others. Absolutely, but it just doesn't work for me. It just doesn't feel, you know, when you're connecting to God, you don't need all that stuff. At least that's how it feels for me. My goal at this point in my career as a QHHT practitioner, I semi-retired from nursing back in December, where I'm still teaching nursing at Lethbridge College, and just part-time, though, not even part-time, just PRN, just as they need me, so that I can do QHHT, and I'm so glad that I left then because it's been a whirlwind since I did. It's like Source was listening to me and said, okay, now you're finally ready. And my goal is to bridge the gap between spiritual healing and modern medicine. Yeah. I feel very strongly that I need to do that. Recently did my little YouTube video specifically for that as a starting point. And to me, that's absolutely important because we put so much faith in modern medicine. And after 37 years nursing now, I just don't think that it's, I think it's got a lot of growth. We're just going down.
Absolutely. Such a wonderful video. You have such a wonderful way of explaining it.
Well, thank you.
Oh, it's just a beautiful, beautiful video. So if you have a chance to check her video out, please do. In fact, I want to put it on our website, and we will when we get the new website up. I would love to put it on the About page because it's so wonderful at explaining exactly what QHHT is about.
Well, you're very kind. Thank you so much.
It's perfect.
Yeah. Can I tell you about some of my sessions?
Pardon?
Can I tell you about some of my sessions?
Yes, I would love you to. That's our next wonderful segue. Yes, let's talk about...
Well, maybe I'm reading your mind.
Yeah. Oh, well, I know you are.
Okay, so I'm going to do them kind of like bullet form because I happen to know Julia Cannon does things in bullets.
I do.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. So a person came to me with quite a bit of excess weight. And when she was in trance, Source told her that the reason why she put on the weight was because Source told her a long time ago to expand yourself, meaning spiritually, but her body took it literally. And once she understood that the expansion didn't mean the body, the waistline, she was able to curb her appetite immediately with a smile and a grin. I mean, she was overjoyed with understanding it was nothing like, you know, hypothyroidism or whatever. Then I had another lady who was looking for weight loss, and Source came through and said, look at the color red. And she and the idea was every time you feel like reaching for the Smarties or you know the M&Ms or something like that, look at the color red and it will stop you. And my gosh, if it didn't work beautifully. And to this day, she is still looking at the color red. For some reason, that was a stop, maybe like a stop sign. That just occurred
I guess
to me.
So, yeah.
Yeah,
well,
like a stop
sign. The beauty
sign.
Of this is, you know, we're not telling them. You know, it's like we don't come up with the ideas. It's their higher self has the ideas, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like it's them. And it's mm-hmm. like, let them do it. So.
That is so true. Well, speaking of that, I had a gal here. She had driven 9 hours from southeastern Saskatchewan 2 days ago. And when she went into trance, her biggest concern was, I can't relax. My family's driving me crazy. I'm coming out here. I'm going to hang around your house. And so, you know, we have a guest suite here. So she was able to stay here for a couple of nights. But she saw cartoons when she came off the cloud. You know, into her trance, she saw cartoons and spinning. Everything was spinning. The room was spinning. Vortexes were spinning. She saw a Ferris wheel on its side spinning, a bicycle wheel spinning on the ground and so on. Then the next thing you know, she sees the chicken's head sticking out of a cliff like the chicken was stuck in there and so on. And, it just goes on and on. It was insane. I mean, it was really like Walt Disney had dropped in on the session. Mm-hmm. And at the end, she came out of that. I got 2 emails from her in the last 24 hours. She was driving back to Saskatchewan, and she says, I am in perennial joy. As a matter of fact, the term that she used was, well, I won't go there, but anyway, it's a little bit dicey, but she said, I'm crying joy. I am crying joy. Because when Source came through, what it showed her was fun stuff, cartoon characters, little mm-hmm. cartoon characters, even a doctor that looked like a cartoon character running around. And it was trying to tell her, and it explained that to her, why did you show her that lifetime? And it said, because she needs to chill. She yeah. needs to have fun. And the other thing that she had said during the interview was, I just can't stop and catch my breath. Well, what do you think she's dealing with? She's dealing with sleep apnea.
Yeah.
You know, it's just amazing how it just all connects like that. I had another person come. Here's my next bullet. She was a victim of incest at the age of 5, her father. And now she's in her early 60s, and she didn't know how to move forward. So she was still a victim, quote unquote. And Source came through, and we asked, what could be done, et cetera, you know, how the way we engage with Source. And it said that she needs to learn to forgive. That was her whole idea. And on the other side, before she came through, her sole contract with her father was he promised that he would support her in her journey to learn to forgive. And it took her to her 60s before she actually learned it. And, you know, the way I always explain it to my clients, too, is it's not about what happens to you. It's what you do with it.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, very much so.
Yeah, it's not the thing. It's because we all have bad things happen. It's not the thing. It's what you do with it. It's the reaction. It's what you do with it.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yes.
And so once she realized, you know, she can tear up that soul contract, which she did with glee, and she did it in an angry form, but it felt so good to her. And then she sent him love and said, I'm releasing you with love, and I'm going with love. And she has stayed in touch with me. She just lives up the road. She's just doing phenomenally. My very, very first QHHT client went straight to a purple planet. Everything was purple. And I've had other clients since then go straight to a purple planet. So there's got to be a purple planet out there, you know.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of that. Oh, there is a purple planet.
Oh, well, what's that?
Yeah, there is a purple planet. I think Mom's written about it in the one of the convoluted books. One of the early ones.
Well, I'll have to go back. Well, I'm rereading all of her books right now. I'm still back on Five Lives Remembered.
Let's go back when you're talking about like the one they're talking about. You got to remember to stop and chill and things like that. I just want to stop. I just want to reiterate that, you know, how many of your clients have gotten that message?
In one way or another, everybody. And I'll tell you another common message that comes through: love yourself. Mm-hmm. Love, love, love. It's common. I've had men and women crying their eyes out on the sofa bed because they don't love themselves, and they become acutely aware of it. And Source always comes through in such a gentle and beautiful way that they listen. They really catch it. You know, they really, really catch it. But the other thing that tends to come through in the messages, and this is my personal philosophy as I'm going to call it a light worker loosely, is stop doing and just be. Stop. Just stop it, whatever you're doing, and just stand there, listen and feel. And it's amazing what you can get out of your life if you just stop all of the running around like a chicken with its head cut off.
Exactly.
yeah, exactly. So let's see. I had a woman opened when she was, you know, when she landed in her trance, she saw herself as a Roman gladiator, and there was mud and blood, and she could smell the mud. She said, "Oh gosh, it's putrefying. There's so much blood in the mud." Mm-hmm. And she says, "Oh my gosh, I've just been impaled." And, you know, I reminded her she didn't have to relive it and so on. And I said, "I want you in your mind's eye to turn around and look into the eyes of the individual who impaled you," because it was in her back. She turned around and looked into the eyes of another soldier from the other army, and she started to bawl, and she said, "Oh, my God, it's my sister in this lifetime." Well, the reason why she had come for the session in the first place was to try to figure out why she and her sister never got along.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was quite clearly.
There you go. Another There's one, all your answers.
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. Another one, my client and I, when she came out of the trance, so to speak, maybe out of the formal trance, but, you know, we all know that the trance is still there even after they're counted out. We watched the muscles on her right forearm rippling. It was like there was little, larger than worms, but smaller than snakes. And they were going up and down, rippling on her forearm. And that had been a real painful area for her because she has rheumatoid arthritis and fibromyalgia. And we watched it, and she was absolutely flabbergasted. She was gobsmacked when she says, "Oh my God, look, you know," she just couldn't get over that, what we were watching after the healing and so on. Lymphoma, stage 4 lymphoma, drove from a place called Medicine Hat, and it's about 2.5 hours from here. And stage 4 lymphoma, she had been receiving chemotherapy, and it was actually a chemotherapy. She was flying to the United States, somewhere down south where you could get sort of a hybrid sort of chemo where it was about 10% traditional chemo and 90% other stuff, you know, more alternative. And she came for one session. And as it turns out, this was the first time she had ever been on Earth. She couldn't understand why she wasn't interested in eating, even though she looked healthy. I think she was just living on love. And she couldn't understand why she had to sleep. And Source came through and said, "Well, you've never been here before. You don't know what a body is all about. You know, this is new for you. Yeah. It's new territory." Well, anyway, she went back to the States about 2 weeks after her session, and they did the usual complete blood count, you know, to see if she was safe to do chemo again, and they chose not to do it. They said there is no evidence of cancer. They repeated either a CT or an MRI. I don't know which one. I can't recall. But she's now living cancer-free and automatic writing. So she developed her psychic skill after it as well.
Yeah. Because you connect them. I mean, they get it. They get it's all done. And then this connects them. They understand the connection. Yeah,
exactly.
That's what I love about this.
Oh, my God.
I love it.
It's fantastic. And I am so proud to tell my nursing students about what I do on the side. You know, like a recovering alcoholic, you know.
Oh,
guess
my
what
gosh.
I do.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, earlier when you said that you're still doing some of the nursing a little bit. You're like PRN and everything, and you've you've retired for the most part and you're still doing a little bit, and the universe has been taking care of you. And I got this visual and I heard this message and just said, well, I heard them say, we're the wind beneath your wings. It was just that, you know, we're taking care of you. I mean, obviously they are.
Okay. So, well, I'm getting truth bumps. My scalp is crawling right now when you say that. That's really nice to hear. Thank you. You know, a very common thing that I see coming through my sessions, lots of people with depression, as well as their myriad other problems, lots of guilt and lots of anger.
Mm-hmm.
And they all feed into one another. That's very, very common. QHHT works so well for, it doesn't matter what it is. It truly does not matter what it is. But when it comes to those expressions of emotion and so on that we have as human beings, you know, having our earthly experience, you know, depression and anger and guilt and that, it is so effective that they float out the door, you know, and then I end up getting emails and texts that go, I'm still gobsmacked. And it might be a month or 6 months later, they're just blown away with the effectiveness. Your mother.
They just had to understand. They just had to connect the dots. That's all it was. It's just
all.
A matter of, that was it.
Exactly. Well, I know we're running out of time. I want to throw a couple more bullets in, if
well,
I may.
Well, before you do, what I want you to do is tell people how they can reach you, because I don't want us to get off the air before you do that, and then we can finish. Then you can give some more.
My website is onespirit.ca. That's O-N-E, spirit.ca. There's a page on there where you can connect with me. My YouTube video has some information as well, and it's QHHT, The Truth Be Told, is the name of the video. What else? Do you want my email address?
Oh, that's probably it. Your email address is probably on your website, right?
It is. Yep, it's all there.
Okay. Okay, let's tell some more stories.
Awesome. All right. I'm also finding that the longer I'm doing QHHT, the more I'm receiving healing as well. I remember asking your mom, Dolores, well, first I insulted her when I met her. I said, Dolores, for a woman in her late 80s, I noticed that you don't wear glasses. And she said, I'm not in my late 80s. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, my gosh. Well, for a woman in her mid-80s, she says, I'm not in my mid-80s either. And I said, oh, my God, I've just insulted my teacher. I said, well, the point is you're not wearing glasses. And she said, I used to. And she didn't anymore. Yeah. And I have experienced that sort of thing myself. I had a rotator cuff injury, right shoulder, that has been brewing for well over probably 2.5 years now. I refused to have surgery. I don't need it now because all of a sudden, it was about 2 or 3 weeks ago, source came through my client out of the clear blue sky and just announced, you're healed. And I said, pardon? I thought it was source speaking about my client. He said, no, you, Heather, you're healed. Try your shoulder. I couldn't believe it. I had a frozen shoulder, and it was absolutely, and it's been fine since. The other thing, I had a client here last week, and we are Canadian. We don't talk about Huckleberry Finn and Tom Sawyer the way they do in the States. I mean, we know who they are and everything, but we talk about Anne of Green Gables. We also don't talk much about the Statue of Liberty, but she came, had her session, saw herself initially dressed like Huck Finn, she said, with the straw hat and the blah, blah, blah. And then she saw the Statue of Liberty. It's the first thing she saw when she went into trance. So she leaves to drive home. She sees a huge billboard between here and where she lives on Saskatchewan-Manitoba border, and it said Huckleberry Finn and something, something, something. Again, we're in Canada, and I get out of bed. And I went to the store to get some inkjet cartridges for my printer, and I walked in, and what do you think I see on the TV set is they're talking about the Statue of Liberty, and they were both within 24 hours of her session, and I knew intuitively it's just validating the connection, the beautiful connection, beautiful connection, so... So my philosophy
that's what it is.
Yep,
it is. Well, we are at our time now.
Yes.
Absolutely. How about we leave with a beautiful message that you have given, and that source has given through your clients, And that's love, love, love.
Yeah.
And enjoy.
And what?
And enjoy. You know, we're here to enjoy the experience. We're here to have the experience.
Yeah.
And enjoy while we're here. Don't get caught up in all the busy, busy running around with our heads cut off like a chicken. And be here being, not just doing.
Yeah. We all feel that way. It's not necessary. Yes. It's not necessary. It stands in the way.
I love you, everyone. And thank you so much, Heather, for being on
my pleasure.
With us. It has been wonderful.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
It's totally been my pleasure. And I'll see you next week, everyone. And till then, we love you all. Good night.
Bye.